and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
I'm all right. Cold.
It is cold, isn't it?
I know it's a very English thing to talk about the weather. And I find now as I get older, I think I talk about the weather more than I used to.
I use it as deliberate small talk to get out of having to actually have meaningful conversations with people I don't really want to talk to. If I've got to interact with someone, say just bump into them or even on a professional level and, you know, they'll open the door, I'll say, oh, hello. Oh, isn't it cold? Oh, you're still wearing your shorts, I see. Yes, I am. Oh, you must be mad. Oh, yes, mad or brave, one of the two. Oh, and then you can sort of walk away knowing that you've made the effort. You've talked to another human being. That encounter is now finished. Mm. We can walk away. We've talked about the weather. Very British. Case closed.
I found myself saying quite an old man thing yesterday. I had my godson over and I was walking him up to the train station yesterday morning and it was freezing and he was in shorts. And I found myself saying, are you not cold in those? And he went, no. And I just thought, I when I was 14, I probably wouldn't have felt the cold the same I do now. You know, there's me wrapped up in a big winter coat. I've got three layers on. I've got thick jeans on, big old socks. And there he is in shorts. And there's a bit of my brain going, you must be cold. But I think when you're 14, you don't feel the cold like you do as you get a bit older.
You see, someone I saw a few months ago, back in sort of January, said to me, oh, I see you're still in your shorts. Mm. We'll see if that lasts. And I thought, okay, challenge. Bitch, challenge accepted. And I have worn shorts every single day for the whole year now because I thought I cannot show up to your house again and be seen in trousers because you'll think you've won and I'll have lost. So now I will be cold just for the sake of winning.
There must be days when you regret that, though. There must be days when you leave the house, you think, oh, why did I? It's not even a challenge you've set with her. It's a challenge you've set with yourself. Like, you don't, there's nothing to win or lose here apart from your own brain.
And again, going back to it being small talk about the weather, the person who said this probably has long forgotten they even said it. But to me, it's this unstoppable challenge that I must win in my own head. I think there might be something slightly wrong with me.
I was going to say, I think that's something you might need to get some professional help over. That's a weird thing. It's almost like torturing yourself for no reason.
To prove a point to someone who won't remember the point they made.
Do you still do that thing, though, like with your family? Like, I still with my family, and I see them very regularly, but often the weather will be the first thing that we'll talk about.
Not so much.
No?
No. I mean, it comes up, but I don't think it's the first thing we talk about.
No, it's often like, the, you know, if I see my parents, if I go to them or they come to me, you know, often the first thing, oh, isn't it cold today? Or isn't it warm? Whatever the weather is, isn't it windy today? Whatever the, it's almost like instead of a hello, almost.
But you don't work outside. I mean, I'm not sort of saying, oh, look at me, I'm a hard man, I work outside. But I'm just saying it should surely affect you a hell of a lot less than the likes of me. For example.
Yeah, I mean, half the time I don't even, you know, if I've not looked out the window, I don't even know what it's doing. Sometimes I hear the rain on a window, because often if I'm in a room working, yeah, this is a bit of an insight into my life. Like right now I'm in a room, even though it's the middle of the day, I've got the curtains drawn. I've got no lights on. I'm sort of still sitting in a bit of darkness, even though it's the middle of the day. So I wouldn't have a clue what's going on outside. And I might just hear the rain on the window. And I don't really watch the weather forecast anymore. You know, I will sometimes just have a look at the weather online, but I'm not really as aware of it. So I think that's my way of working out what the weather is, by talking to people about it.
Speaking of looking at the weather online, I've got a holiday coming up in a week or so, and I have been looking at the long-range forecasts from the Met Office, and I'm in no way throwing any shade at the Met Office as a company, but the long-range weather forecast is worthless. It basically says, weather's unpredictable, could be rain and spells of sunshine, maybe not. And I think, well, that's told me nothing. Either if it, fine, if you can't do it, don't do it, but don't pretend like you can and give me this vague nonsense. I mean, how hard is it in 2025 to not be able to tell what the weather's going to do.
Well, because the weather is a constantly changing thing, you know, you can't always predict it, can you? You know, it's science, isn't it? It's science, Ben.
Yes, but then say, as of today's science, this is what's going to happen in 2 weeks. check back tomorrow, and we'll tell you again tomorrow what we think. You realise the irony is we're complaining about people talking about the weather, and people have bothered to tune into this podcast and listen, and we're complaining about the weather.
Well, I think the weather's an interesting conversation. You know, there is so much to talk about when you get into the weather, because often it will lead to a conversation maybe about global warming. It's like a snowball effect, isn't it? You know, you start talking about the weather, but then that leads to all kinds of other conversations. I think that's the other thing about the weather, actually. It's a conversation starter, because then there are tangents you can go off, and then you'll often come back to the weather when you run out of the tangents, and it's almost like a bit of a cycle. So you'll start talking about it. You'll go, isn't it cold today? And then someone will go, yeah, I've been reading about that, and it's there's an effect on the temperatures do get colder when there's global warming. Then you get into a whole conversation about that. Then that might even lead to conversations about holidays. I mean, we've just talked about your holiday. We're
that is true.
Long range forecast, the science of it. And then you'll run out of those. You go, oh, yeah, but it is cold, isn't it? And then you're back to square one.
I'd argue that my little very slight side tangent about my holiday was still quite weather based and not that interesting.
Well, I mean, yes, it was dull. I'll give you that.
So yeah, I get what you're saying. It's like when a drug dealer gives you your first hit for free.
Yeah.
That talking about the weather is like your gateway drug into hopefully more interesting conversations. However, it seems to be failing us at the moment. We need a bigger hit.
Right, all right. Well, I'll change the subject.
Okay.
I'll tease this one by saying, I mean, the weather could have played a part in this scenario, Ben.
Well, okay, I'm interested. I'm just wondering how many other podcasts start by saying, hey, here's something boring. Let's talk about something boring and then acknowledge we're being boring.
We've done 270 of these. Anyone that's listened long enough will know that this is probably one of the dullest podcasts around. I've been a bit social this week. I've done a few Yes, Ben. I've even been out a couple. You know, I don't like leaving the house. I find leaving the house stresses me out these days, but I do it. You know, I still occasionally will go out and meet people.
Knowing how little you like to leave the house, this is starting to sound like an alibi. I'm wondering who's dead and what you've done with their body. Because now you're, oh, I wasn't there that night. I was out. Yeah, I was visiting a friend. Yeah, that'll do. I was visiting a friend.
Can I just say, right, before we get onto that, the reason, because I don't leave the house a lot and because I live on my own, I do find that my eccentricities are growing.
That's because you've got no one to keep you in check.
Well, I know. And I'm definitely becoming louder in my expressions of frustration and anger. And I've got new neighbours. They've only been in a couple of months. And I do sometimes catch myself I do tend to shout at my computer a lot when I'm working. I don't know. I just hate computers now. I find them so frustrating. And often once or twice a day, I lose my shit with it. And I will be screaming at it. And then you hear the neighbours just having a laugh next door.
Ooh.
And so you know that my volume is loud enough to be heard next door. And you think about the reality that they've moved in and think, we've got a fucking lunatic next door. And you spent your whole life thinking, I'm actually a good neighbour. I'm a decent neighbour, but I think I'm becoming one of those people that they think, oh, he's a bit of a fucking weirdo next door. I think I've become that.
Oh, man.
When my old neighbours left, just before Christmas, I bumped into the guy, and I've always got on well with him, said hello, had a little chat. And I said, oh, yeah, I see you're off. Good luck in your new home and all that. And obviously, because we've been doing a lot of DIY, I said, oh, I hope over the years we've not been too loud with the drilling and everything. And he sort of laughed and it was politely. And I said, also, you know, I hope I've not been too loud sometimes. And I sort of said, shouting at the football. But I thought he would know by the time of day I'm shouting and the things I'm shouting that it's not going to be football related. And I must admit, his response was almost like, Yeah, we've heard. It was slightly awkward.
What team does Bill Gates play for that you're screaming at him about?
Yeah. I think I'm becoming the weird neighbor. I think that's the truth of it. I also find myself doing weird. I was talking to my friends last night about this. I was admitting things that I do out loud in the house. And as I was talking, it dawned on me that this isn't probably normal. And then it was pointed out to me that these are the things you're telling us about. So these are things you're not ashamed of. So wow. There'll be other things you're doing. So there, it came out last night. I don't even know how we got to it, but I said, well, sometimes I'll just walk around the house and I'll be going, doing noises like that. I'll do accents that I'm probably not supposed to be doing. Like I will sing Louis Armstrong's Wonderful World, but in a Jamaican accent.
Right.
Which I'm not going to do now because I sort of feel that this shouldn't be committed to recording.
No,
that's
I agree.
The sort of thing that one day might come back to bite me.
You see, that's the beauty of Mrs. Ben is that if I start creeping into, because I'm not adverse to doing similar shit to you, weird little boy noises and stuff, like things, weird noises like yours. But I'm very fortunate to have her because eventually she'll go, do you realise you're doing that? And I'll go, oh yeah, sorry. And then I'll stop doing it. But you haven't got someone there to sort of slap you back into place.
Yeah.
So it's going to get worse.
Do you think that that's a male thing? Because I got friends who I know make their own weird noises. I don't think women. I think blokes do it. I mean, even members of my family. You know, when you're together, they'll sort of do a weird noise or say something in a certain way in a weird way, and that's just what they do. You know, and you think, but they're all the men. Like, I don't think any of the women I know make silly noises. It's a very male thing, isn't it?
But yeah. The other thing that I think of is me and Mrs. Ben have a lot of inside jokes.
Right.
And references to obscure things that she would probably be the only person on the planet that would understand if I referenced something.
Yeah.
So if anyone was to come and sort of listen in, or if the walls were bugged, if the FBI were listening in, they'd think, who are these two lunatics who have got out of the asylum and what are they talking about? It's kind of sweet, but you've got to keep an eye on it a bit, because when it starts sneaking into your social life and you start just blurting things out that don't make any sense, you just look like a crazy person.
Yeah. The one thing that does worry me is because I'm very on top of the, although I think I've said before, I am getting more vocal about when I'm pissed off out and about. I mean, I was in the shop the other day and I couldn't find something and I'm literally walking around going, for fuck's sake, like, that's coming out now. That's coming out loud and I can't stop that.
I'm like, surprised by that because you are always, when I'm with you, the calmest and most polite person.
I think
but
the old
it's starting
I'm getting,
to crack, is it?
Oh man, I'm so irritable now. I'm so irritable all the time and it doesn't take much. I go 0 to 60. Things really annoy me and I'm just like, for fuck's sake, where is it? Why have you moved it? Why have you moved that again? Why have you changed the layout of this fucking supermarket again?
Oh God, I got cross with that recently myself.
There you go.
We change everything around and there is no benefit. All it does is some marketing arsehole who's thought, well, what I'll do is I'll confuse everyone, change where everything is, so they're forced to look up and down aisles they wouldn't have otherwise gone, and maybe they'll buy something they've noticed halfway up an aisle.
Exactly.
And I know what they're doing. It just serves to annoy me.
But it annoys everybody. It annoys everybody. I was talking to another friend about this the other day, and they said they've just changed these local Sainsbury's. And he said, basically, you've got a group of people wandering around getting increasingly infuriated and then in a very passive aggressive way finding an assistant and sort of going, where have you put the bread rolls, please?
I like to do the same thing, but not in quite an aggressive way, but quite a passive aggressive way. I'll go to a member of staff and say, so where have you hidden the eggs today?
Yeah. I'm so infuriated. But anyway, so apart from like the outbursts of annoyance, which are becoming more vocal and loud when I'm out and about, the noises and the weird sort of singing, that hasn't gone out of the house yet. But what worries me is if I get to an age when, you know, I'm not compos mentis and I'm in some sort of home. Now, perhaps it won't matter. But what if I'm sitting in a home and I don't know how long I've got, but let's say I'm in my 70s, another 30 years from now, where the times would have changed completely, and I start for no reason doing a Jamaican accent, you know?
I think as inappropriate as that would be to do right now, I'm not sure if you were in your late 70s in a nursing home, sitting in your piss-riddled trousers, doing a Jamaican accent, I'm not sure that the cancel culture mob would be coming for you. I think they'd probably just think, bless him, leave him alone.
Good. I'm pleased about that.
It's not right, but you know what? He's not the target right now. We can find someone else. Surely some comedian said something terrible recently we can cancel them for.
I'm pleased about that. Talking of piss-soaked trousers.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't expecting you to pick up on that, of all things, but okay.
Well, it gave me the perfect link to go back to what I was going to say before I got sort of distracted by my vocal tics.
Yes. You didn't piss yourself last night, did you?
No, but I was out and about. That's where I started, wasn't it? I was out and about this week. I've been doing a couple of social things. And I met up with a friend in the week. And we went posh. We went to Nando's.
Oh, dead posh, yeah.
Only
it's like
my
Ivy.
My experience of Nando's is the food is nice. Food is nice. It's not overly expensive, right? So that's a good thing. But I think the system, they don't have like table service, and the system of getting your food and drink is fucking terrible. You go in, you find a table. This is the branch in Croydon anyway. I don't know if it's the same in all the others. But you go in, you sit down, and then you have to go up to the counter. And often there's a long queue. Often it's a long-winded process for people ordering. So you can be there 10, 15 minutes before you even get a drink.
That's too long.
But anyway, you get over that. You think, I'm with a friend. We're having a nice evening. You know, well, nice bit of food. Got a beer. That's fine. Anyway, it gets to about, I don't know what time it was, 10 o'clock maybe, or maybe half nine. And it was time for us to sort of start getting home. And as I say, I've had a couple of beers. And I thought, I must relieve myself before getting on the journey home.
Where is this story going?
Well,
I'm sat here quivering as to what you're about to reveal
to me.
Well,
no, it's not that exciting. It's just something that really annoyed me. I got up to go to the toilet, and obviously I don't know what time they were closing, but she said to me, oh, the toilets are closed now. So why are you shutting the toilets to customers before you shut the fucking restaurant?
That's ridiculous.
The most stupid thing I've ever heard. And you're in the middle of Croydon. You know, we live in a society now where there aren't public toilets available. Luckily, it's not a long journey home. So, you know, but I had to sort of do that little run home, that little extra speedy run home. And that terrible thing where you can't quite get the key in the door because you're panicking. And then you have to rush up the stairs. And it's all very stressful. And that's all because of some stupid system where they shut toilets before you shut. That should be the last thing. Well, toilets should never close. They would close the moment you close the restaurant. But why would you close the toilets before? Why are you still customers? That seemed to me the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard.
I completely agree. If the restaurant, if the establishment still has people inside of it, then the toilet should still be available to use. The toilets should not be locked separately either. Once the restaurant is locked, that's the end of it. You don't need to then lock the toilets.
Exactly.
I'm 100% on your side. The only thing I'm slightly confused is to, and without wanting to, because I know we do quite a lot, crap on Croydon, but there must have been a pub you could have passed on the way home to, or even a cheeky little side alley or something.
Side alley? I'm not a cat.
Wait, I know you're not a cat, but you know, you go in there, it's probably dark. I'm assuming this is nighttime.
Yeah.
You know, you look left, you look right. If it's all clear, you whip the old man out and you
honestly. I mean, I'm not saying I've never done that, but, you know, it's what a thing to be pulled, because the police can get you for that, can't they? You see it sometimes on those police programs. They stop someone having a whiz in the street.
No, like, I'm not saying in the street. I'm saying down a dark side alley. Mind you, I don't. By the way, for anyone listening, I'm not recommending pulling your penis out at night in alleyways.
Yeah.
That,
also,
that could land you in some serious trouble.
Also, I'm not going down a dark alleyway in Croydon.
Thank you. Trev, I stumbled across a list of things people learn in life too late.
Okay.
And as I was flicking through it, one hit me that I thought, Jesus Christ, I didn't know that either.
Oh, go on, I like stuff like this.
So it's basically silly little details, silly little things that everyone else was aware of that the penny dropped far too late for you. I was this old when I learned that, ... type
okay.
things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as I was looking through this list, one of the confessions was, I thought Bon Jovi was just one bloke until I was 30.
Wow.
Now, I'm turning 37 next week, and that's news to me.
Oh, you didn't know it was a band?
I know. His name is John Bon Jovi, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's John Bon Jovi, yeah.
So I thought people were saying, I thought his surname was Bon Jovi, so I thought people were just calling him, oh, it's Bon Jovi. Like if they said, oh, look, it's Spiff, or oh, look, it's Harmer. It's Bon Jovi.
I mean, normally with pop stars, you know, it's generally their first name that becomes their well-known moniker, like Kylie.
Madonna.
You wouldn't say it's Minogue, would you?
But if you did, we'd still know who we're talking about.
Of course, yeah. Well, it could be Danny, of course.
It's a 50-50. It's 50-50. Probably going to be Kylie, to be fair.
I mean, the Minogues are they're an exception to the rule there. Yeah, you're right. Most of the time you could use a solo artist's surname and you'd know exactly. If I said to you Spears...
Sheeran.
I mean, could
Capaldi.
There's Billy Joe Spears. It could be Billy Joe Spears I'm talking about, the old country singer. But the likelihood is I'm talking about Britney. But Bon Jovi, I think I've always known that that was a band. I've always known he's John Bon Jovi.
Oh, yes, but I didn't realise that that was the name of the band. Yeah. I thought that was just abbreviating his name. So that,
I mean,
that
it's
was
a lame name for a band, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean...
I mean, what should we call our band? I mean, how would the others have felt about that as well? You know, we have a little meeting. What should we call the band? They're probably coming up with great names like, you know, Leopard Slayer, Door Handle. Any sort of,
Door Handle?
I don't know. I mean, now with their new release, it's Door Handle.
Okay. I mean, you laugh at it, but it's no shitter than Elbow as a name.
Exactly.
But they're a very successful, brilliant band.
Yeah, so band names, I think, often ridiculous.
It's just a noise that denotes something at the end of the day. Like,
of course,
when you think of Only Fools and Horses,
yeah,
it's a bit of a clunky title, but you don't think, what a clunky title. You just think of that brilliant sitcom that you love.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a noise that means something that you love.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'll read another one here that was also very much news to me. And I'm going to gamble that I think this will be news to you.
Go on.
The three wise men weren't in the stable at the same time as baby Jesus.
Not at the same time?
No, apparently not. And I've checked it. I Googled it. Apparently.
Well, you fact-checked this, have you?
I fact-checked the nativity, yes. And I went into Snopes.com and fact-checked the nativity. And no, the wise men never visited Jesus in the stable. They visited him in a house after his birth when they brought him the gifts.
I mean, it makes sense because they didn't come till the 6th of January, did they?
Well, exactly.
So, and he was born in the manger. You know, they were only staying in the manger. To think they'd be in the manger for, you know, 2 weeks in the stable wouldn't make any sense, would it? I mean, you'd almost have to say that that would be neglect on the part of Mary and Joseph. And you'd have thought God would have something to say about that. That's my son. It's not very, all right, he was born there. That was circumstance because the fucking innkeepers, they could have found a room if they really wanted. And to be honest, with God's power, he should have made a room available. I've never understood that.
Is Joseph the first documented cuck in history? I think he might be. Is that really offensive for me to say?
I would have thought that's certainly some sort of heresy. He'd be burnt at the stake in the past for comments like that.
Now, the other thing that I also liked about that one was
when you say a house, as you've looked into this, you know, where were they at that point? I don't even know where they moved on from, because obviously they were from, was it Nazarene? They'd only gone to Bethlehem for the census? I should know all this stuff.
You know a lot more than I do. That was about as much as I looked into it. I didn't check if it was a terraced house or a four-bedroom semi-detached. Oh. I didn't check.
And also, that sort of... I mean, obviously we know it was probably Halley's Comet anyway. But, you know, the story is the star led them to Jesus, and the star was always over the fucking stable. So that's all a nonsense before we start, isn't it?
The thing I like was the comment underneath this, which said, I blame every nativity I ever saw for this lie, which is true. The nativity scenes of primary schools have led us to believe that they visited the baby Jesus in the stable. Bollocks.
But the nativity plays are, they get more and more absurd, don't they? I mean, I was in a nativity play at, must have been infant school, I think. And, like, I was Father Christmas. Where does he appear in the nativity story? I had to be a shepherd the next day. I was Father Christmas one day. Obviously, I was, you know, my range enabled me to play both parts. Or I wasn't good enough as Father Christmas on the first day. I'd like to think it's the first that my range enabled me to do both parts.
I believe it was. Absolutely, yes.
They said, oh, you do Father Christmas. And obviously, I've kept the Father Christmas act going for, you know, over 40 years now. The Shepherd Act, I've never really done that since. That was a one-off performance. But remembered, I'm sure still talked about.
Oh, Shepherd at the back. Not a year goes by without people reminiscing about your performance, Trevor.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they say, the way he wore that sheet.
So would you like some more of these?
Yes, please.
I found on the internet. This isn't one I fell for. I knew about this, but someone says, I only just realised that Papa John in Papa John's is a real guy.
Oh, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that Papa John. I mean, I don't know why obviously his name isn't Papa John. He's John somebody, but he's obviously given himself the moniker Papa.
Yes, and I believe he's no longer affiliated with the company. I don't really think we should get into it, but I think there were some controversial comments he made which led the board of directors to release him, shall we say. Anyway, moving on. This one's particularly thick, and again, this is an internet comment, it's not me. I thought the Queen had two birthdays because she was born in two different time zones.
Oh God.
I like that. It's quite sweet, but quite dumb.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Where do you think she was born? Like, if she, we know,
like, on the border.
On the border of what, though?
I don't know. Like,
the UK has only one time zone.
Doesn't somewhere link up with China and they have two different time zones, just, or something like that?
Yeah, but
you can tell my geographical knowledge is really coming into play here.
And also, her real birthday and her official birthday were, I think, about 3 months apart. So what kind of time zone is that?
So it's going at the speed of light or something on a rocket. But that is, to be fair, it is a bit baffling to why someone has a birthday and an official birthday.
Hmm. I've never quite understood that. I can't quite remember. I have read about this before, but it goes back to, I can't remember what king. There was a king who sort of instigated this, what is now Trooping the Colour, and that became sort of the official birthday. I think it was the day perhaps of their coronation originally, of whatever king instigated that idea. I think it may have been the date of their coronation. And then the tradition sort of just continued.
Okay, that's good to know. This next one is one that I used to fall foul of. No pun intended for what's about to come up. But I did grow out of this one a good few years ago. I thought duct tape was because ducks were waterproof, not because it's duct tape. Mm,
yes. Mm.
For years, I said duct tape and didn't realise what I was saying. Right. I didn't think because of the whole waterproof nonsense, but I did mistakenly say duct tape for quite a long time.
I mean, duct tape would be an odd name for it. I mean, I'm not even sure why it's duct tape.
Because you'd use it on ducts?
I suppose so, but I mean,
I don't
you use
know.
It for all sorts of things, don't you? So, I don't know why it's called duct. Yeah, you might as well call it duct tape, as far as I'm concerned.
I thought al dente was a famous Italian chef. I quite like that.
Yeah.
It's al dente.
It's al dente.
I'll give you one more. I thought the moon and the sun were the same thing, just seen from different angles.
I mean, come on.
I mean, there is a good period of the year when both are visible at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which kind of blows a hole in that theory.
Yeah, I mean, often during the day in the summer, you look up and you can still see a bit of the moon, can't you? You
know? Yeah.
So, I mean, I can understand that to a certain age, maybe about 8. But I think once you've gone past 8, I mean, that always amazes me on things like The Chase. As you know, I'm an avid watcher of The Chase. I do enjoy it. Whenever there's a question about the solar system, and all I'm talking about is literally the solar system, the sun and the planets. Nothing else. Not the stars, not the constellations, because that does all get complicated. That's where I don't know what I'm talking about. But some people don't know the order of the planets. And to me, that is such a basic thing.
I mean that should be fairly straightforward. I still mourn the loss of Pluto a little bit.
But relegated. It was a pretender, you know.
No, it was up there for so long. It was one of the big, well, I say it was one of the big boys. It was so small it was relegated to dwarf planet.
It was only had what 70 years of being a planet.
Oh.
You know, it was only discovered, was it in the 1920s? And then it was only in the 90s or the 2000s they decided it was, you know. So I think it had its time. It was basically like a fraudulent planet. And it was finally found out.
I know, but it's also ruined that helpful acronym to remember the planets. Well, my very efficient, whatever, I can't remember the acronym now, but the thing that spells out the order of the planets.
Yeah.
Well, and now we're missing the last word.
I know. I mean, the one I always knew was Matt's very easy, makes Johnny sleepy until next playtime. Without the playtime, all we've got is until next. Next what? Next what? What is it? So yeah, it doesn't work. So you have to say the whole thing and then just remember to take off the playtime.
I've just found a new updated acronym if anyone wants one.
Okay.
Which has relegated Pluto, sadly.
Yeah.
If you want it, it's my very educated mother just served us nachos.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, it works, obviously. But I don't know why it doesn't work for me.
No, but it's sad. I miss Pluto. Bring back Pluto.
What was the thing you learned for the compass points?
Never eat shredded wheat.
That's the one I knew. There was also naughty elephant squirt water. That was the other one.
It's not quite as snappy as never eat shredded wheat.
Never eat shredded wheat. That was the thing. And how do you remember?
The shredded wheat people must hate that.
Yes. I mean, it's not a positive thing for them, is it? And how do you remember where west and east are? Because I used to have, it's a bit like my left and right. I've always had to think about that. It's just, no matter how old I get, some days I can't get that quickly. I always think about it.
If we're going clockwise for the never eat shredded wheat.
Yeah.
And we're starting at north.
Yeah.
Which is up the top, obviously, because north.
Yeah.
Then east has to be right.
Yeah.
So therefore, south is south and west is left.
Yeah, well, I always just remember that it spells we, obviously.
Yeah,
left to right.
Left to right spells we. Okay, that's another way of remembering it. Well done.
Oh, I mean, it's so educational, this program, isn't it, for 5-year-olds?
So, I got another one from. I raised the subject with Mrs. Ben before the podcast, and she says, "I'll tell you one that pisses me off."
Yeah.
It's when people use the expression "it's a moot point."
Oh, it's moot.
And I said, well, what's wrong with that? I said, I've used that expression before. It's a mute point. And she said, no. She said, oh, you're one of them, are you? I said, what? Yeah. I said, what have I done? And she said, like you said, it's not mute. Mm. It's moot.
Moot.
M-O-O-T, not M-U-T-E. And I said, well, hang on a minute. I could make a very strong argument for why a mute point is still a valid expression. Because if it's not worth saying, you might not as well listen to it. It might as well be on mute. It's a mute point. That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
But no, she was very unhappy with me about that.
Yeah.
It's a moot point.
Moot point.
Do you have any of your own little blank spots in your knowledge?
I do. I mean, there are things I've found out recently. There's one of those things you said wrong your whole life, and I've only just discovered this. There's not a terrible, like, I can understand why I've always said it like this, but I've only just found out it's yin and yang. I've always said yin and yang. I always assumed it was a G on the end of both of those.
Now, this is a revelation to me again, because I would have put my life on it being ying, yang.
And I don't know why. It was only a few months ago. For some reason, I looked it up. I don't think I'd ever seen it really written down. I talked about it. I remember talking about it at school. They must have written it down at school, but they must have written it down wrong, I reckon. But I looked it up and I thought, well, that's weird. It's got, and then you realise that actually I've been saying that wrong. My whole life, I just thought it was yin and yang, and it's yin and yang.
I think if you hadn't told me that, I'd have gone to my grave saying yin and yang.
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, it's not a big deal, but that's the thing I've only just found out. Another thing I found out recently which I never knew. And I love this fact. I love facts about, because I'm a bit of a TV nerd, TV show facts, you know, and I like to know these sorts of things. And I never knew this. Do you remember the show? You might be a bit young for this. Do you remember the show Button Moon?
Only just. I mean, yes, I have the vaguest of vague memories. Button Moon, Button Moon, yeah. Let's follow Mr. Spoon, Button well, Moon, something like that.
There we go.
That.
You know the theme tune. And that's the most important aspect of this fact, because I was with some friends a while back and one of them said, well, I don't know how we got onto Button Moon. But you
so,
know,
so you all got on together. You jumped in your time machine.
I think we were reminiscing about TV when we were kids, you know, because we always think the TV of our childhood was the best TV ever, don't we? That we always think, you know, my friends of my generation think kids' TV in the 80s was the best it's ever going to be. But I suspect you grew up in the 90s. You probably think kids' TV in the 90s was the best kids' TV there's ever been.
I did. The thing is, I'm not sure I can cross-reference mine with yours because you'll have grown up a bit more, so you wouldn't have been watching it.
Well, exactly. I probably wouldn't know what you're talking about. And I'm glad you know Button Moon. So anyway, we got talking about Button Moon, and my friend says to me, do you know who sang the theme tune to Button Moon? And I always assumed It was whoever the guy was who did the narration on Button Moon, whose name escapes me at the moment, but he was quite a well-known actor.
I'll tell you what, rather than just reveal it, could you give me some clues?
Okay, well, I could... I'll give you the biggest clue that I can give you. He was a Doctor Who.
Oh, my God. Was it David Tennant?
No, he's a bit late. You've got to go a little earlier than that. Again, probably not. I know you were never really a Doctor Who fan, but this is probably before your time. What I will say is, to give you a sort of idea of when this man was Doctor Who, this man will be forever my Doctor Who because he was my first Doctor Who.
Okay, now I'm going to admit I'm cheating. I'm looking up the list of Doctor Who actors.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick one. But because I'm cheating, I'm only going to allow myself one guess. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, some of these images are in black and white.
Right.
Now, William Hartnell is a name that's screaming at me.
William Hartnell. He was the first Doctor Who, of course.
But that's a black and white image. I'm going to go with this friendly-faced man called Colin Baker.
Colin Baker. Colin Baker. Was Colin Baker the voice of the Button Moon theme tune? I think if I've got my order of Doctor Who's right, you're one out.
Oh, one who out.
One who out.
One who out.
The Doctor who sang the Button Who... The Button Who? The Button Moon theme tune was Peter Davison.
Oh, well, I tell you what, I did cheat, so I'll take the defeat, but that is a weird bit of trivia. So who told you that?
Well, this is a friend of mine, and I had no reason to doubt her, you know, because why would I? But I just thought, how did I never know that fact? I love Peter Davison. He was brilliant in Doctor Who. He was also brilliant in All Creatures Great and Small. He's brilliant in whatever he's in. I'm a big fan. Peter Davison. I say a big fan, I could only name two programs he's been in, but I like him. I like him a lot. And then we were out in a pub, so then, you know, you take that in and you sort of forget about it because you drink. And a few days later, it sort of came back to mind. And I thought, I'm going to listen to the theme tune. And you listen to it and you hear his voice, because that is Peter Davison. And then I then subsequently read an article or heard him talking about it. And I thought, that's extraordinary. How did that happen? Like, he wasn't the narrator of the show. I don't think he was he wasn't known for singing. How did he get that gig?
There was a small element of that story which really wasn't that shocking at all. The first bit was interesting, learning the information. Mm. The third bit was interesting, that just happened to pop up in an interview that you read subsequently a few days later. Mm. That's a strange coincidence.
Yeah.
The middle bit of, I listened to the song and it sounded like him. Well, no shit, because it was him.
Well, yes, but I mean...
That wasn't an interesting part of this anecdote.
But I bet if you didn't know it was him, you wouldn't say, oh, that's Peter Davison. It's only because you know it's him and then you can say, oh, yeah, no, that is his voice. But you wouldn't know it otherwise. That's the interesting thing
about it. In future, when retelling the anecdote, leave out the middle section where you listen to him and it sounds like him.
That's an interesting bit of the anecdote.
I disagree.
It's an interesting bit of the anecdote because I think if you didn't, if I played you that theme tune, let's assume that you knew who Peter Davison was, but I didn't say to you, this is Peter Davison singing. And I said to you, who is that singing? You wouldn't say, oh, yeah, it's Peter Davison. You wouldn't.
I would like to personally thank anyone who is still listening to this podcast at this point.
We gave up when you were talking about, what was it you were talking about earlier? The weather. We gave up then.
That was the opening link. Shit.
So that was a good fact I learned recently. Another thing I learned only fairly recently, probably in the last couple of years, and again, you sort of think, I was 45 then probably. How did I get to 45 and not know this? I needed some lotion.
No.
For a bit of a skin problem I was having at the time.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Mm. I got some lotion.
Oh dear.
From the doctor. The doctor said, you need some lotion for that. And I said, all right.
And Mr. Smith, please put your trousers up. This is boots. Yeah. Yeah. Security.
He said, it's on your arm. Absolutely no need for your trousers to be down. So I got the lotion, and it was one of those fucking annoying things where it's got foil over the top of the nozzle, right?
Oh, yes. And, I know exactly what you're going to say.
Well, I used to always try and find a fucking safety pin. I didn't realise, and I don't even know, I think I just found it by accident, that the lid had a sort of spiky little element in the top of the lid, and you just flip that over and push that into the foil. Job done.
Yep. Turning the lid upside down and forcing it in will burst the little aluminium foil top. Yep.
That's the sort of thing they should be teaching you in school.
Did you also know, while we're going over pointless things that you might not have worked out the meaning for. Mm. Do you know why biro pen lids have a hole in the top?
Oh, that's in case you swallow them.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can still breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah. Because children will chew on pen lids.
Yes, they will.
I bet there was some tragic event. You know how innovation of safety comes from some tragic event. There would have been some child who choked to death on a pen lid.
I wonder how much that cost the manufacturers to have to change their setup to put a tiny hole in the middle
of the... Well, the life of a child. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations. Got anything for us this week, Ben?
I do. I have a rare recommendation for a game.
A game?
Yeah, if you're on the Xbox or the PlayStation, you can both play this game, and even on Steam if you're on the PC.
On Steam?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I didn't think you would.
I thought that was some sort of antiquated thing, like it could always be a board game.
No, it's a lovely little game. It's called 60 Seconds Reatomized. Basically, you've got 60 seconds to run around the house gathering as many supplies as you can.
Right.
You can choose to grab family members or not. Food, soup, water, a padlock, an axe, a gun. You can grab everything you want, but there's only 60 seconds, so you can't grab everything. You've got to be very careful.
Yeah.
And then after the 60 seconds, if you make it, you can jump into the bunker, and you've got to survive for as long as you can with supplies you're given. And the game gives you lots of different scenarios that you can say yes or no to, decisions to make here and there. They can all go wrong, they can all go right. It's completely randomly generated. It's basically heavily luck-based, but it is an incredibly good, fun game.
So you get 60 seconds... Right.
Yes.
And is this with a VR mask on, or is this
using
a joystick?
Yeah, the joystick.
I mean, what else do you call it?
I call it a controller. But
all right, good job.
We can call it joystick, Grandad, if that makes you feel better.
Yeah, joystick. Yeah.
It can be very frustrating at times, but it's very good fun, and it's not very expensive. The game's quite old. I'm very late to the party on this, so it's only about £8 or £9. So that's a good little recommendation. My second recommendation is, I'm very excited that I realised that, where are we now? April the 10th, 2022, 2025, we're getting season 7 of Black Mirror.
Oh, I saw that there was a new one coming at some point, yes.
So it's a bit of a blind recommendation because I haven't seen it, but I can't imagine it's going to be bad because it's Black Mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so there you go. I imagine that'll be on Netflix.
Yeah, well, I look forward to that because I remember reading a while back there was another series in the works, so I didn't know when it was coming, but
there you go,
very soon. Yeah, I mean, it's weird, you know, you mentioned games and you laugh at me for calling it a joystick, and I do play video games occasionally with my godsons, but as you know, I'm not a gamer, so I am quite old school, and I do play with my friends. We meet up fairly regularly and play board games. We're sort of old school. We've been playing a game called Gloomhaven that is quite an epic game. It's sort of a kind of like a Dungeons and Dragons style game where you have to fight monsters and you've got cards. It's very complicated, but I am old school. I like it.
Do you and your friends all have to dress up and put on wizard's hats and stuff to play the game?
No, I mean, I do.
You wear a cape, I assume.
A cape. I put on a voice, obviously. Jamaican accent most of the time. Which doesn't fit the character, but I do it.
You know. You sing a bit of Wonderful World in between turns when you're waiting to roll the dice.
So yeah, but no, if you ever, you know, if you're into board games and those kind of, I think are they called role play games? I don't know what they're called.
RPGs, role playing games.
That's the thing. RPG. I've heard that mentioned.
It could be rocket propelled grenade as well, but I think it's role playing game.
All I do is I turn up, I'm given my cards, I have my hand led the whole way. It's a very complicated game. Most of the time I've no idea what's going on. I just say to one of them, if I do that, is that a good thing? And they go, yeah, do that. So, but anyway, if you like that sort of thing, Gloomhaven's well worth a go. We're just playing this is the training game, and I think there are 24 scenarios in that. We're only up to, I think we did number 7 last night. You don't do them all, because if you've passed one, you can then jump to. But, you know, that's just the training game.
Wow, so this is a full-on time commitment.
This is years. This is going to be years. I mean, I just hope we get to the end of it before I die.
See, that would put me off starting, to be honest.
Well, no, it's a reason for me to stay alive now, isn't it?
Now you finally have reason to live.
Give me a purpose in life.
I mean, if that isn't the sort of stamp of approval on a recommendation on this podcast, then it's given me reason to keep going.
Exactly.
Then nothing is.
By the way, my character is the Destructionist.
Oh, that sounds like a cool character.
Yeah, I basically go in and I cause havoc. Bloodshed and gore. That's my aim. Anyway,
you've still managed to find a way of bringing, well, I suppose clues in the name, Doom and Gloomhaven.
Yeah, yeah, we're talking of Doom and Gloom. My recommendations are a little bit Doom and Gloom.
I would expect nothing less.
I'm getting more and more obsessed by true crime documentaries. I don't know if it's good for me to watch so many of them, but I just enjoy them. There's one on Sky Documentaries at the moment called The Body Next Door. It's just a mind-blowing story. It's a little Welsh village. It starts off with what people think is a prank involving a medical skeleton that's sort of been left out. And then, of course, it turns out it's not a medical skeleton. It's a body.
I'm assuming this isn't the spoiler.
No, because this is basically minute one of the documentary.
Okay, fair enough.
But the story behind the people involved is just the things that begin to unfold. Just extraordinary. I love these sort of documentaries where you've got what you think is just the main story. It's just a straightforward detective story. You know, find the killer. But you just think it's that. And then so much more comes out of it.
That sounds good. I think it's a shame that I don't have Sky Documentaries, but I'll try and find it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good. There's another one on Sky Documentaries called Black Widow as well. That's a three-parter, and that's an amazing story of deceit, coercion. Just incredible, these. Anyway, that's a good one. The other thing I'm going to recommend, okay, is another documentary. This is on the BBC. It's on the iPlayer. 3 episodes again. It's called Escaping Utopia. And it's about the story of people trying to break free from this cult in New Zealand called Glory Vale, right?
And Glory Vale and Gloomhaven are your recommendations, Rick.
And it's just one of those. You know, people are still in this cult now, And it's just the most horrendous story of abuse, coercion, and all of that stuff that cults do. And I do like a good cult story, but they are horrendous, aren't they? And the people that do finally get out are then ostracized from their families and all that stuff that happens, and they're damaged for life. It's just fucking awful, but it's a fascinating watch.
I thank you for the recommendations, but that diet of your viewing, I think you need some more Button Moon.
I do need more Button Moon. I tell you what, I've got on DVD, maybe I should dig out. I think I've got every episode of Bagpuss on DVD. Maybe I'll get that out and watch some Bagpuss this week.
Lovely.
Just to lighten the mood, I will just throw in, we've mentioned him a few times recently, the Rob Brydon podcast. His latest edition with Bridget Christie, who I think very soon has her second series of The Change coming to Channel 4. If you've never seen that, by the way, there's a recommendation. Watch the first series of The Change. I think it's called The Change. That's amazingly good. Second series is coming. But her podcast with Rob Brydon is well worth a listen.
Well, I can listen to Rob Brydon interview anyone, so that's fine by me. I'm happy to listen to that. That's great.
Good. Right. Well, hopefully I've ended on a bit more of a lighter note.
Yes, after all the death, ostracisation, cult, murder. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. Well, there we are. That's it. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trevor and Ben on X and Blue Sky. No one is taking us up on the offer of Blue Sky.
Even I haven't. I'm still not on Blue Sky yet.
Unbelievable. You're the one person I thought I could bank on. You can find us on that if you want, but I'm sort of losing the will to live with it. But get in touch with us if you want, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.